everyone, and welcome to another episode of Blondes Living Boldly. I'm Jade.
And I'm Emily.
And thank you so much for joining us today. Today we're both excited and apprehensive at the prospect of today's podcast.
Yeah. The topic is fear.
So before we get started, we're going to need a little glass of red wine again this evening here. So yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
Really enjoyed that sound. That was even better than the last time. Oh, that was a yummy sound. So we're talking about fear today, as we mentioned, and what kind of fear encompasses. So there's loads of different types of fear, and that's what we've been discussing recently and experiencing recently as well. So we'll start off maybe with the lighter subject. The irrational fears. I'm going to call them irrational fears. We're going to start with Emily's because I think they're entertaining.
Well, no, I think one of them is very normal. Spiders. I think everyone is.
I'm not scared of spiders.
A lot of people are afraid of spiders.
I think they're quite cute.
You're like my mum. They're not. They're hideous. And I will kill them if needed. But yeah, I think spiders is quite a common one. Like, not everyone, I get it, but I think it's quite common. Mm-hmm. And then my other one is clowns. I mean it stems from when I was a kid, when I went to the actual circus and there were clowns. But yeah, it's then watching horror movies, and obviously the film It has scarred me for life. I probably watched it when I was too young.
Little Pennywise.
Yeah, and since then, no. Like, I can't anything with a clown's face. It's kind of meant that I also don't like kind of when people cover their faces or they wear masks.
I mean, creepy masks, not like surgical masks.
No.
Having a tough time going out right now.
But I mean, yeah, like creepy masks, like they've covered their faces. So it kind of, it's not just clowns now, but yeah. And I mean, I don't feel like it's irrational, but obviously.
But you don't know the clown.
No.
The clown's just a person.
No, but why do they have
to
put
that makeup
on? What
about when you watch Modern Family? Does that scare you?
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like him,
but I kind of got over it now because he's kind of in the, what was his name?
Fizbo.
Yeah. No, he's all right because
he's a happy clown.
Because I know who he is, like who the character is. But
could you imagine if you had someone that did actually sleep clown?
Oh my god,
you wouldn't.
They'd be dead, I think.
Mark would make a great clown.
No. But then again, I think Jade's irrational fear is
a bit
silly, as we would say.
Okay, yeah, because it's not as common. Just because you've got like the common basic bitch fears, no offence.
Well,
love you.
Clowns aren't basic. Not
loads of people are scared of clowns.
Yeah.
That's why they had the creepy clowns that were like chasing people around.
Okay.
They were funny.
Okay. Well, I'll let Jade tell her story then.
Okay. Well, it goes a long way back, also to my childhood. So I was bitten by a swan, and I remember it very vividly because I was feeding the swan, and it literally bit the hand that was feeding it. You're not meant to do that.
No, but they are a bit vicious.
Yeah, they're horrible, and they're creepy, and they've got horrible feet and horrible beaks and horrible necks. And they freak me out, and I don't like them. Unfortunately, we go to the lakes quite a lot in Italy, and there are swans everywhere, and they're so creepy.
Ducks everywhere.
Yeah, I don't like ducks either. They just, I think they're the spawn of Satan.
I mean,
and I know it sounds irrational, but they
like
creep me out. They've got beady little eyes.
A turkey, maybe, because they've got the funny neck, or, like a vulture, maybe. But
you don't
swan?
See those around quite that often. Swans you see
they're
everywhere.
Elegant and graceful.
Emily, when we saw that swan on Lake Maggiore, you jumped up almost as quickly as I did when it was in the water.
Yeah, to be fair, so they are pretty big.
They're big. Right. It's their feet. I just don't like ducks or swans' feet or geese. Any bird, I don't like their
feet. The whole webbing.
It's not just the webbing. It's the like clawy, webby.
Fair.
Disgustingness of it.
Okay.
It's like a leathery.
Yeah, there are weird sort of.
No, I don't like it.
Yeah.
It creeps me out.
Fair.
So those are our
Kind
of entertaining fears, like light-hearted fears,
I guess.
Yeah,
the kind
of
everyday, not everyday fears, but the ones that kind of, people, when you ask someone, what are you scared of?
But, they'll be like, I'm scared of heights, or I'm scared of this, or
the dark.
And it does, but it does normally come from your childhood, doesn't it? Where you've had like a bad experience,
definitely
in your childhood.
Yeah,
which I guess leads us on to our
next little mini topic.
Yeah, mini topic. Lots of mini topics. Fear is such a big subject.
Yeah, very broad spectrum, isn't there, with fear?
Yeah, because you get little ones, big ones.
Yeah. So the next one is learnt fears. So this is kind of again. The whole going back to your childhood and, you know, what things scared you back then, and they've kind of stuck with you ever since. And obviously we were talking about things, you know, that happened in the playground or in the classroom, or, you know, the whole kind of report card and parents' evening, like, you know, having that terror. Fear of, oh my God, what is the teacher going to say about me now? Or, oh my God, what did I do the other day? Oh, they're going to tell my mummy or my daddy. And then
bear in mind that me and Emily both have parents
as
teachers. Yeah. So I think we maybe have more of a fear of like disappointing them, because you're like, oh, it would be embarrassing, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't feel like my sister ever had that fear, though. Do you think Greg had that fear?
Probably not, no.
He's a boy, though.
He's a boy, doesn't care. He really didn't care.
No, so I've always been really jealous. My sister, I think, never gets embarrassed.
No.
And I'm so jealous of that quality, because I'm embarrassed. I'd say about 90% of my day I'm embarrassed by myself.
Yeah, I struggle with the same, like, constant. Like,
oh, what's wrong with me?
Oh, no. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? What the hell?
But it turns back to me from school, definitely. Like, I still remember pretty vividly. So there were two teachers, both females, both taught the same year group. Their names were Miss Sargent and Mrs. Constable.
No.
Yeah. Really?
They should have been in the police force, not in bloody teachers.
Well, yeah, obviously there were many jokes about it. And I was in, like, year five or year six, and I accidentally said the wrong name during registration, and you're like, and literally I remember it because I was mortified for
your own name.
No, I said, what, like, I said one of their names wrong. They're very similar names. Okay. I'd had one the year before, and then I had the next one. It was very confusing.
So it was like, instead of yes Miss Sergeant, it was yes Miss Constable.
Exactly.
Okay.
Embarrassing, humiliating, mortifying. But why?
Because actually it's probably not.
Happens quite a lot, surely.
I'm always forgetting people's names now.
Yeah,
and then you have that awkward moment of like, who's
I've literally had people call me the wrong name for years and never corrected them because I thought it'd be uncomfortable.
It's the fear of like,
well, I think because I take fear of getting things wrong so personally that I think everyone else does,
but
they probably don't.
No,
like, I remember once I cried because my dad got something wrong and the guy pointed out that he got it wrong, and I felt so bad for my dad that I cried.
And yet he probably didn't care.
No, he probably doesn't remember it.
Yeah. That is a bit of an irrational fear.
Yeah, definitely an irrational fear. But where does that come from? I must have learnt it somewhere.
I know. I mean, yeah, I think most of everyone's fears are learnt.
Mm.
And they're learnt from a young age, or also learnt from your parents. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if your parents have got fears...
Is your dad scared of spiders? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No, neither of my family are scared of spiders. However, my mum is scared of daddy long legs.
Oh, I love a daddy long legs.
See, daddy long legs doesn't bother me.
They're really cute.
No, mum hates them. Oh. So she doesn't like flying insects. Okay.
I don't like flying insects, like if they fly into my eye or any orifice, obviously. Like ears. Like, you know, when they get close to your ears, it makes you like cringe. Or if they go like in your mouth by accident, if you're like, oh, horrible.
No, no. I once had an earwig headphone situ.
Okay, that was hideous. That's a fear. That's actually scary.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think they all come from main things. So it's a very weird thing because now I live in a foreign country. So it is weird, but... I have this massive fear of speaking another language that I got, and I remember it specifically. And I don't remember his name, but this horrible waiter.
Jean-Pierre.
Probably. We'll call him Jean-Pierre, shall we?
He was French.
He was French, therefore. Sorry if anyone's called that, and that is actually a nice person. But they literally basically ridiculed me in front of all my family when we were on holiday in France. And my parents were like, well, you've studied, you're studying French at school. So
try it out.
You got to order for everyone. And it was just, they couldn't even understand when I ordered a Coke. Like, that's how bad it was. And you know how they correct you? Because I think Italians are just happy when you try and speak Italian.
Yeah. The French either.
Like, you've got the accent wrong. you've got the whatever it is wrong. It's actually the table's feminine, not masculine, or whatever it is.
There's too many confusing ways in which you can be wrong in French or
even in Italian. Italian, fair, but I think they're nicer about it.
Yeah, no, I do find with the French they either are going to be upset that you've tried.
They'll just reply to you in English.
Or they will just reply in English because they're like, why did you bother?
You're useless. So, yeah, I think that's obviously, like, for me, was always a big fear. And I think it still plays a part today
when
I'm going to talk to someone or have a conversation with someone. That fear that kind of stopped me for years in trying to speak Italian with others was definitely there. I mean, after a glass or two of wine, I'd be okay. But before
obviously, as a kid, you couldn't. You weren't meant to drink.
I didn't have that option. Obviously, I was just terrified because they ridiculed me in front of 12 people.
That's nasty.
I was about 11.
Oh. You only just started learning French as well. Come on.
Anyway, I still remember it.
So there you go. Just goes to show these fears that you learn from a very young age.
They stick with you.
They stick with you forever.
They don't have to, obviously. Like, we've since confronted that fear, especially with Italian. Like, I am getting to a point where I'm more comfortable speaking it.
Yeah. You definitely are. Me, not so much.
But you shouldn't have that fear.
I don't know. I don't know where my fear comes from with talking. It's just the whole, it's getting it wrong. It's embarrassing. It's that side of it.
So you're like me, you don't like to be wrong, do you?
No. And I mean, I studied languages. I went to a language school. I studied them from the age of, 10 to 18. But I don't know. Back then I didn't care. And I kind of, I don't know. I think for some reason,
as you've got older,
also, as well, I think what plays a part is when you get older and you're learning something new, it's harder. And I think, kids don't have that embarrassment factor.
Because they're learning so many new things.
Yeah, all the time. Whereas, as an adult, when you are learning something new, it's hard. And, you feel that embarrassment factor when you do get something wrong, because you're thinking deep down, well, I'm an adult, I should know this. Like, why am I struggling? So as much as, when I was a kid, I didn't, I didn't bother me. Yeah. Now it definitely does. Like 100% fear factor.
It's a weird thing, isn't it? But I do think we're taught in general, like when you're a child, for example, you assume that adults know everything, don't you?
Yes.
So I think you are taught, it's almost like that God complex of like adults know everything. So then when you're an adult yourself, I mean, I still don't feel like an adult.
No.
But I'm nearly 30, so I probably should.
In theory, we are adults, but. I don't see myself.
Like, if a child came up to me and they were lost, I'd be like, why are you talking to me? I'm not an adult.
Yeah, go and ask them. They're older. They know where they're going.
A lost child, I'd be like, oh, no. I'm not the adult you're looking for.
Definitely not. I might look like an adult, but I'm not an adult.
Really not. So maybe that's part of it as well, is that
maybe.
We feel like we should know everything now because we're old.
Yeah.
Older.
Definitely not old yet. No.
No. But, and again, I think you're like me, we don't really like to be wrong. So I have this fear of being wrong.
Yeah.
That I've always had. But as far as I can remember, I've always had it. And I recently got asked by someone, why, where does that come from? Like, why do you have that fear? And I'm not really sure. I don't know if I put it on myself or.
Probably.
I mean, admittedly, I had an older sister, so she did tease me a lot whenever I was wrong. But again, she teased me because she doesn't get embarrassed. So for her, she just thought it was funny.
Or something's happened in a classroom or, it's probably something that's been, it's kind of more subconscious. It's like a subconscious level fear that it's there, but you don't really understand why.
Mm. It's like a...
Kind of like ingrained.
Yeah, maybe. But it doesn't mean you can't change it.
No, definitely not.
I think, we recognising it, what is it? The first step is
admitting it.
Yeah, admitting you have a problem.
I mean, that is, I think, when you've got, like, going to an Alcoholics Anonymous or...
Probably not the what time have you, to be but, talking about a glass of wine, but... Yeah. No, admitting you have a problem with...
With something and facing it,
I think that goes for all things, doesn't it?
I would assume so.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Let us know. Any thoughts? So moving on to a slightly different subject, bit of a deep subject. We've labelled it deep fears. Very serious.
Yes.
You feel free to have a moment.
Yeah, I'm going to have another sip of wine. Just, you know,
just prepare. To prepare emotionally, mentally. So when we talk about deep fears, I think we're talking about fears we think most people have. That's maybe even part of human nature, or
I would say so.
Yeah.
It's that
part
kind
of human nature.
Yeah. It's kind of what everyone, I mean, we're beating around the bush here, but
we're English.
So, we're talking about death. There you go. I've said it.
So out there now.
It's one of those. Yeah. I think everyone from the day you were born, you
I don't
are,
know. Do you think babies care?
Well, I suppose you're not really aware of it then, are you? But I think from the moment you are aware of death, so whatever age that is,
when you learn about it,
it becomes an ingrained fear of, I don't want that to happen to me.
Yeah, or to anyone I love.
Or to anyone I love, whether it be family members, friends, pets, you know.
I think that's normally how you find out about it, isn't it?
When your pet dies.
So my niece and nephew have just gone through this and it was really sad. It was heartbreaking.
So yeah, I mean, it's heartbreaking at any age, but I think
for me and my sister,
most...
when our rabbit Bob died.
Oh,
he was eaten by a fox. It was quite disturbing.
Mine would be the family dog.
Yeah,
and I was probably what, I don't know, 11.
Because if you don't have any experience of it before,
well,
none
of my grandparents had passed away by that point. You know, I was quite lucky. My grandparents only passed away not that long ago, so. I didn't have that. So yeah, my first experience, I suppose, with death was the family pet. But obviously there are some kids who will unfortunately lose mums, dads, sisters, brothers,
grandparents, cousins, whatever it might be.
Yeah, whoever, earlier. Or friends or what have
but
you.
I think, yeah, from your first experience, I don't know. I don't think it matters how you find out about it.
No, but I would then say, like 99% of people,
I think even
then,
parents are probably scared to talk to children about it because it's almost like a loss of innocence, isn't it?
Mm. Well, it's just how do you even approach that subject?
So I feel like, yeah, when my niece and nephew found out the first time their pet died, because it's not the first pet that's died, I think they were lied to a little bit about it.
Yeah, that I think, you know, parents will do the kind thing and kind of say.
But it's still it's then a loss, isn't it? But
exaggerate
it's
the story a bit rather than telling them the full truth.
What, the cat ate rat poison and is now dead?
Yeah, that's you kind of. But then there's going to be questions, isn't there? Mummy, what's rat poison?
Mummy, something the late neighbours left out.
Mummy, why would the cat eat the rat poison? There's too many.
Yeah.
You've got to kind of think of the most concise answer that's not going to have the questions coming back to you.
Or any, like, traumatic.
No.
See, my issue was, so when we found Bob, he'd been ripped apart by a fox.
Oh.
So my experience with death was very graphic.
Yeah. That's quite a graphic experience.
Yeah. And I still remember, this is maybe why I'm scared of death as much as I am, because obviously my mum was like, well, that's a shame. And then my dad buried the rabbit and we went and picked flowers to put on Bob's grave. Aww. Great name for a rabbit.
Bob, love it.
His tail bobbed up and down when he moved.
Doesn't that happen to all rabbits?
Yes, but we didn't know that at the time.
Okay, fair. I like it.
We were very young and we went to put flowers on the grave and my dad had missed Bob's gut, which was just lying in the grass on the way to the grave. So then the flowers got thrown in the air as we screamed and ran towards the house.
Oh, yeah. That's disgusting.
Yeah, very graphic.
Yeah. But day.
But I think even if you didn't have a traumatic experience,
no,
it's still,
I think everyone is still
scared. I think it's the unknown, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the other one, isn't it? Death, unknown.
But I think the death links to that.
It links.
We don't really know what happens. Obviously, I think that's where it's quite therapeutic for people to believe in heaven and
or to,
an, afterlife
yeah, an afterlife
of some kind.
Mm. Reincarnation and
whatever
kind of that sort
yeah.
of thing.
I think because that soothes us, doesn't it? Because we can't imagine not being anymore.
No. I mean, the whole kind of...
I'm scared of space, actually. Space freaks me out a little bit.
Same. Because I don't have that understanding. What is it? What is out there? And I think as well, because we've seen so many films about, you know, space and the aliens and what other planets are out there and what, you know, what is what is it?
Yeah, because there are so many films. But again, the films are there because we quite like being scared by things sometimes, don't we?
Definitely. It's not even being scared. It's like that kind
thrill,
of
thrill, isn't it?
It's the thrill of, ooh, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's why I watch my makeup and murder mystery woman.
Love it.
But then this morning it did scare me a bit because it was about loads of different missing people and it didn't really make any sense. And I was like, well, maybe there are aliens.
You never know. I mean, there could be little ETs running around. Or
ET was cute, though. It wasn't scary.
No. I don't mind aliens if they look like ET, but, you know, they look like Alien, the film.
Oh, then I have a problem, yeah.
Then I have a problem.
Yeah. A bit concerning.
Sorry. Slightly off topic.
Okay, so I mean, that's the like deepest fear that I guess I would assume most people have. Maybe some people don't. Maybe some people don't think about it.
There's probably other people, yeah, who don't. But I would say most people, majority of.
Yeah, I would agree. I reckon. So what about, obviously, fear of the unknown, fear of death, fear of failure? There's like lots of theory.
Yeah.
Broad subjects. And then there's like those really irrationally ones that we've kind of spoken about. And then there are some like real rational fears as well, right?
Yeah.
So there are fears like, obviously we live in a ski resort. So for us, we're kind of pussies when it comes to going off piste.
But there is a reason for that.
Yeah. It's,
I mean, you know, skiing is a great sport. Don't get me wrong. High adrenaline. You know, it's beautiful, it's peaceful, you know, but it's very risky. You know, there is a high risk whenever you are, you know, participating in a winter sport up a mountain, which
moving at fast speed,
because at the end of the day, Mother Nature, if she decides to, you know, make that piece of snow over there move, or that large chunk of snow move, she will.
She will. Yeah. So it's up to her. You're kind of at her mercy. I feel like that's to do with mountains and like the sea.
Yes.
Because I've always been a bit worried about what's underneath me. Maybe that's because of Jaws. But
but more like as well with the sea, it's the waves, you know, it's how powerful. It's
the weather. You know, the weather could change. Oh, God. Again, in the mountains, it's not even necessarily just avalanches. It's the weather changing just and getting lost.
So fast.
Because it literally...
Within minutes,
it can completely change, or you know, you move slightly around the mountain and suddenly you're surrounded by a cloud. Which, when you know your mountain range and you know it well,
it's okay,
you know, but it's still scary. Mm-hmm. There's been times.
Well, yeah, when you can't see in front of you and you've got to try and figure out, even if you know the way, trying to figure out your way back down.
Well, if you can't see where your feet are,
or what's up, what's down, what's left, what's right, because it's all white.
Yeah. Then it does get a little bit scary. I mean, we were on what were we on, like a green piste, and it was our first day back skiing. And actually, I guess this is kind of a mixture of nerves, excitement.
Yeah, it's not just fear, is it?
It's not just fear. We love going out in the mountains and skiing or snowboarding.
We've been doing it a long time. So,
yeah, so we know what we're doing. But before you get on that first chairlift, especially me as a snowboarder, I'm like, well, what if I stack it? I've stacked it many a time, like as when I was learning, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I know how to snowboard now. So I do know that's not going to happen, or very unlikely unless someone wipes me out. And then, like, there's a chunk of ice in my way or something. Yeah. It's very unlikely.
It's very unlikely. It's
going to be still get that.
It's down to somebody else,
anxious
not you.
Moment, right? Before you get off a lift.
Oh, God,
like, when there was the six of us on that lift and there was a mix of snowboarders, skiers. Like, I don't know what they're like.
Which way are they going to go?
Yeah.
You know, if they get a bit close to me, what if my skis go
what
cross
if we
over?
Clip each other, yeah.
Yeah. Or I drop a pole or, yeah.
I get that, like, weird. I get it when I look down from a high height in general. But, like, you know, when you're in a chairlift, you get your phone out.
Yeah.
I'm always worried I'm going to
drop it. Oh, it's a horrible feeling. And yet you're like, you know, you're gripping onto it with your dear life, which actually is probably worse because you're more likely to just squeeze it out. It's going to go squeeze and it's gone.
But yeah, there's some rational in there because you're, you know, how many iPhones people have found in the summer or whatever it is that people
you
have dropped off chairlifts or poles or things like that.
And you are at a height.
Yeah.
You know, they're not.
What about, do you find it worrying? You're not really a hype scared person, are you? Although I would rather be on a chairlift than in a gondola.
Yeah, that, I mean, there is a reason for that now.
Well, yeah.
We'll move on to that
in a tad.
But, yeah, chairlift, I feel like they're not as high. Normally, yeah. I can kind of like get out.
Yeah, I can get out. You know, that's more claustrophobia.
Yes. Yeah. See, that's quite a common fear, isn't it? Mm. Claustrophobia.
Well, neither of us like flying either. Just thinking.
No, we don't like flying, and that's a claustrophobia and control.
That's
thing.
A control thing. I was going to say for me, it's definitely a control thing. I don't know the pilot.
No. What's to say the pilot isn't drunk or drugged or it's his first flight or experiences something, you know, that he hasn't done in his flight simulator?
We're saying he or she.
Sorry, he or she. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, not that I can fly a plane, but I don't know. A part of me just would like to.
I think they pretty
it.
Much fly themselves these days.
They do. Yeah, they do.
Sorry if there's any pilots out there, feel free to correct me, but.
I was under that impression as well.
That's what people have told me.
Yes.
I'm just taking information that I've heard from random sources here.
Exactly. Anyway, back onto the topic of skiing and...
Yeah, but there are those fears, you know, like if you're not... Obviously, for us, it's been a little while since we went snowboarding. The lifts weren't open last year. So as much as I hiked up and snowboarded down, you didn't get skiing last year.
No.
And also, it's just that... Yeah, it's like nervous excitement, isn't it? And the second, it's like riding a bike, the second you strap in, you know.
Oh, yeah, you know how to do it. It's just that for a split second.
You kind of have to remind yourself, you know how to do this. Your body knows how to do it, even if your mind
muscle,
is all.
Yeah, I think it's more muscle memory, isn't it? But, oh my God, we've both been doing it for so long. There's no way we can't do it, and there's no way we're going to have forgotten. But
maybe.
Just, you never know. You never know.
And again, it's building up. We kind of build up the speed. We don't like to go bombing it down first thing.
No, definitely not.
We both wear helmets. Like, we're both...
Well, but, you know, we're safe to an extent, aren't we? We're not super safe, don't get me wrong. And we're not, you know, going to stick at snail pace or, what have you. But, and obviously by the end of the season, we're a bit crazier than we were at the start of the season.
Because if you break your leg, it doesn't matter as much.
No, but I'm not going to, I don't want to ruin the rest of my season this early on in the game.
No, absolutely not. But, you know, that, like, if you look at Michael Schumacher, he drove fast cars his whole life. He went skiing.
I know. Well, there's quite a few famous people, and not even famous people, but
people in general. People you see in general. It all the time, don't you?
You know, you've got your ski instructors who die in avalanches because, and yet they're meant to be know the mountains.
Because you can never know what.
No.
If you obviously you have the equipment. I mean, I don't agree with anyone going off piste without the equipment.
Oh God, definitely not. If you're gonna be an off piste person, make sure you've got the right avalanche equipment.
Because even then, you're still putting yourself at risk. But if you have the equipment, at least you're that little
you
bit.
You have got some sort of hope.
Yeah. But, you know, it happens to the professional snowboarders and skiers.
Oh, all the time.
That, you know, are professional free riders. It happens to them.
Yep.
So me, who's like a little average Joe, sketchy just snowboarder.
Your normal kind of mountain
person. So for us, it's kind of... We are aware of that fear. I'm not sure if when I was younger I felt it the same way. It's kind of what we were speaking about earlier.
You kind of...
Like, things develop, you learn more,
And I think that's why as well, with skiing and snowboarding, it's so much better if you do learn it when you're younger, because you don't have that fear and you don't want to have that fear when you are doing it. You are better to learn the scary things.
Definitely, because then they could become natural to you as well.
Yeah, like anything like horse riding or, I don't know, go-karting or mountain biking. Anything is going to be better when you're a kid because you don't have that fear factor.
Yeah, even languages.
Well, anything. Cooking.
Anything. Everything's better. Children have it easy.
Definitely.
The younger you are, the easier it is. I mean, I don't know about that, but, you know, obviously you have fears as a child, but I think you take your fears from other people or... You're easily able to push through it, aren't you?
I think.
Because I remember hating skiing the first time I went as a little kid. You know, like the little kid that's crying on the chairlift and they're stupid.
And
like,
you've got to go with this horrible ski instructor.
French again.
Mine was Austrian, but...
His name was Sebastian. I remember his name. He was horrible. He just used to yell, parallel ski, at me. Like, I'm five. I don't know what that means.
No, I think, kids are just lucky in a sense that... up until a certain point, they don't have that natural fear.
But I think as well, like maybe we kind of disregard children's fears more.
Probably,
so
because they're children.
Scared of it, like I was scared of sailing when I first learnt to sail. My dad put me on a boat anyway.
Yeah, you just kind of force them into it and they have to get over it.
Well, yeah, and I did get over it.
Oh, yeah. I think 9 times out of 10 you do, but...
But I think it's the same as an adult, but no one's there to push you, are they? It's up to you to make that choice of, I'm going to push through this fear.
And you're probably most likely not going to push yourself because...
Well, would you?
It's uncomfortable and it's... I don't like it.
It's scary. I don't want to do it.
But yeah, as we were saying, so just to kind of fill you in on the whole cable car gondola situation.
And also on someone pushing you even when you're scared, which is me.
So in the summer, we decided...
We had an experience,
we? Had an experience. We went on a lovely holiday, me and Jade, just to Lago Maggiore. So it's like a couple of hours away. And we'd said that we would love to do a sunrise or a sunset hike whilst we were there.
We'd seen them on Instagram. We were lulled into sense of security.
We didn't
realise
what goes... what's behind the scenes, basically. We just assumed, it's going to be the same as just doing any normal hike. And
we kind of planned our route. We did plan our route.
Well, you had kind of researched it, hadn't
there
you?
There were signs.
You'd Googled what ones to do, and we'd picked this particular one because we were going to be able to get to a high point and be able to kind of look out over the lake. And it was a relatively long one. It was 3 hours or something.
Yeah, two and a half hours.
Two and a half, 3 hours. And for us here, when we do that, in the day,
That's quite short, isn't it?
That's a short one for us. So anyway, we planned it. We had planned to do it the next day.
Haphazardly planning is what I like to describe my planning as.
This one in particular was very haphazard. It was a case of, we're going to go tomorrow morning. This is realistically the route we're going to take. And we kind of need to get up at this time.
Which was
4 a.m. So we kind of, that was the extent of our planning.
I would like to point out, we definitely planned because I knew where the route was and we knew how well signposted it was because we'd done a previous hike. So we did know that.
Yeah. We knew what kind of signs we were looking out for. We knew where we were starting from.
And I had researched the mountains around it, because had I not, it would have gone differently.
Oh, yes. So thank God you had. Yes. But anyway, we then set off at 4 a.m, it being pitch black.
I think this is the worst moment of it, is because we both woke up and were like, it's very dark, isn't it? As if we weren't expecting it to be dark at 4 in the morning.
No, I don't understand why we hadn't figured that out, but it was...
I thought darkish. I didn't think that.
No,
I didn't
it was
pitch black. No.
It was pitch black. And obviously we're in this little village above the lake, so there's no light pollution. I think there was literally a few street lamps.
Yeah, not a lot.
But not a lot. And then we kind of started to go through the wood, and it was okay.
Imagine Blair Witch Project.
It was very much that vibe.
Yeah, I was kind of, in my head, I was thinking Blair Witch and Clockwork Orange because there was lots of big villas.
Lots of big villas. So we, we're kind of having to use our phone torches as lights because...
Unprepared.
Again, hadn't got head torches or anything like that. It was really hot and muggy,
it was... about the sweat.
Yeah. Lots of bugs.
A lot of bugs.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we went through an initial bit of the wood, then we kind of came out into kind of a bit like a suburban kind
this
of housing
Clockwork Orange moment.
Area.
Lovely houses, yeah.
Lovely houses. Beautiful in the day, I'm sure.
Bit creepy.
Creepy at night. Then we kind of went into deep wood by this point, and it was you could just hear every snap of the twig, every rustle of the tree, every... animal noise. It was just...
And poor Emily, I will point out now, there were a lot of spider webs.
Yeah.
I
did stop you from walking through a spider at one point, I think.
Oh, yeah, there was a massive spider.
Yeah, massive. Because I don't know what it is with these spiders there. They decide to put their webs between the trees.
Across
the path. So
and it was quite a big path at this point as well. So it doesn't seem I don't think they've got very big brains.
No, clearly not.
They're tiny, aren't they?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but they
don't think they're very intelligent. These particular breed of spider. But yeah.
They make a good web.
It sticks to you.
They were hard at work. Hard working, maybe not intelligent.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was a very unpleasant experience at the start anyway. And
all the way through.
Just all the way through. Anyway, so a little bit of a backstory. I don't know, obviously, if you guys obviously had heard about it, read about it. There was a cable car crash in Lago Maggiore. Where we were staying. And
not at the time. It had been a few months before.
Yeah, a few months before. However, we didn't realise that the walk we were doing was going to take us that close to actually where the crash site was.
No.
So we kind of were following these signs and it was like, you know, kind of hadn't really taken that into consideration. Then we stumbled across
I did know it was the same mountain, but I didn't realise that it would take us directly under and to, it was
the mid-station,
wasn't it?
Yeah. So we obviously, once we'd figured out we were at the mid-station, that freaked us out anyway. Then we had a horse incident.
A horse incident sounds a bit weird, but yeah.
Basically scared the bejesus out of us because we walked past it and we didn't know it was there and it neighed. As we'd gone past. But
jumped right out my skin.
I'm pretty sure that was the calling point of setting off the dogs.
Well, because there was a rooster and I was like, well, that's a good sign because nearly morning. Yeah. You might finally get light.
No, this rooster was an early rooster.
Yeah, it was an early bird.
And then we had two farm dogs.
Barking. You could see them. They were big. And they were in the distance and we didn't know if they were caged, did we?
Like, no.
If they were in a fence or if they could get us. So we did the worst thing we possibly could have done.
We ran. We ran. Literally, both of us have probably never sprinted that fast in our entire lives. By this point, we have no idea where we're going.
Just torch light to guide us.
Just phone lights to kind
of... Then we got the other side of another fence and we're like, okay, we're fine.
We can calm down.
But it's only because even if we hadn't run... If I was a guard dog and two people with flashlights were coming at me in the dark, I'm going to attack. It was my...
Oh,
because that's what they've been trained to do. And I don't know if they've been trained to attack or trained just to bark. I don't know.
No, we didn't want to find out.
I didn't want to find out.
So, yeah. Then it kind of, you know, we kind of heart rates slow started.
No, but we're still walking through the woods in the spider webs again.
Yeah, it's just not pleasant. Then the track that we were meant to be following.
We got to a point in the middle of the woods, dense woods,
and we can't go that way because they've obviously closed it off for
the crash site, and which we didn't realise. Luckily, I had done my research and there was another mountaintop that I'd seen as a sunrise point. So I saw the sign for that.
Yeah. So we were like, right,
that way.
We'll go that way.
Started walking downhill, which was weird because we'd spent most of the time walking up.
Yeah. So then it's like, oh my God, why are we now walking downhill?
Still in the dark.
I don't know if at that point we then hear another dog in the distance.
We'd seen the sign.
Oh yeah. So then it kind of gave us it's however far, like an hour and a half to this next point, like, you know,
so
high
not far.
Point.
We'd already been walking for over an hour, right?
Oh, yeah, easy. Or it was 20 minutes home.
So we could have actually just left later.
Yeah.
And not gone past the dogs.
No.
Or the crash site.
No.
Or anything bad.
No. It actually probably would have been an...
Mostly along the road, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It would have been an okay experience.
It was starting to get light now, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You could make out the distance. You could see the mountains. I knew we didn't have long before sunrise because I'd spent the last hour checking my phone. Like, when's it going to get light?
When's it going to get light?
only 2 hours, Emily.
Oh, God. I mean, it was just awful.
Emily wanted to go home.
I did. By this point, my heart rate is so...
And we hadn't spoken. I think that was our problem because obviously we think we're in a horror film. So obviously we're not talking because we don't want to alert anyone to our presence.
No. So yeah, we're not discussing how we're feeling. We're just like kind of ploughing on through.
Marching.
And then it kind of gets to a point where I'm like, it just gets too much for me. And I'm just like, I don't like this anymore.
She literally was like, I really think we should just go home, Jade. We should just go home. And I made the point that if we went home now...
All of this would have been for nothing.
We've gone through hell for absolutely no reason. Whereas it's starting to get light. We're not that far away. We're on a path. There's signs. We know where we're going now.
Oh dear, yeah.
So, and I was scared too. I was terrified too. But the fact that it was getting light was slowly soothing me, and I was just concentrating on breathing and calming. Emily was not concentrating and breathing and calming.
No. I was just like getting myself more and more worked up. But I had there was a moment where I had a little talk with myself, and it was just like, no, we're going to do this.
So I think as well, for me, I was quite surprised, because in our friendship, I am the one that gets stressed. I am the one that loses my shit. And Emily is the one that stays pretty much calm.
Yeah.
So when she was like, I'm freaking out, I'm not going to lie to you, I really want to go home, I absolutely hate this. And bearing in mind, we've been in silence for an hour, so I had no idea. And I'm talking to myself in my head, like, calm it down, Jade, it's all going to be fine.
Oh.
Breathing. And obviously Emily's head's just going, this is fucking horrible, we're all going to die.
Yeah, I was like living my own nightmare, basically. But we did get there in the end, didn't we?
We had a pause, didn't we? Because it started to get light, and then
we had like a pause.
No, just... that's when we heard the other dog bark and you ran again.
Yeah.
And it was way in the distance. It was way, way in the distance.
But I just...
And Emily legged it, left me behind.
I just bolted. It was like fight or flight. Flight. I just ran. There was no questioning. There was no second guessing. I just... My legs just went.
Yeah, she was off. She was off. I wasn't.
I think, yeah, you shouted after me. You're like, Em, what are you doing? Wait for me. And I'm like, oh, God.
Absolutely fucking not, evidently.
I'm sorry.
So it's way in the distance, Emily. Like, it's fine.
It was just that. Oh.
And then we got to a point, didn't we, with the waterfall, and it was obviously a lot lighter at this point. We could see the lake. It was nice. And then there was a sign about dogs or animals or something, wasn't there, on a fence? And that freaked both of us out.
Yeah, cows.
We didn't know if it was behind us or in front of us. And obviously the sheepdog here... Your advice that you're given is to stand perfectly still.
Or back away slowly.
Yeah, and not make eye contact.
Don't run. And it was like, oh my God, like, we can't have any. We've had enough.
And we're dog people.
Oh yeah, but by this point, I hate dogs. I don't want to meet any other dog.
So we sat down on a rock, didn't we? And I was like, we're just going to breathe. We're just going to chill.
Some water.
You have a chat to yourself. And we let it get a bit lighter, didn't we?
Mm-mm. Yeah, I think we sat there probably for like 10 minutes or so. Mm. And then, yeah, carried on.
Oh, this is what I was doing. I was picturing in my head, because like we both said, we wouldn't have been stressed if we were on like a tour or with a group.
Or even just one man.
One man.
Who knew the way
and knew where I was going.
I'd have been
feminists
happy. But it's just the fact that it was us two girls. Like, we hadn't told anyone where we were going either, had we?
Because we changed route, hadn't we?
Yeah.
So we had told Marco.
Yeah.
But
I told my boyfriend where I was going. But
I hadn't told anyone.
It was like...
One person knows where we are.
One person, but
we're sharing an apartment, the two of us. Like, if someone doesn't hear from us until the evening, that's actually quite normal. Like, I don't speak to my boyfriend that much.
Yeah, they're not going to, like, take note of it, are they? They're just going to be like, oh, they're probably busy. We know they're away on holiday enjoying themselves. So, yeah.
We're in an Airbnb, we're not in a hotel, so no one's seeing us going in and out or anything like that.
We hadn't seen the neighbours anyway, so they wouldn't have seen us. Yeah, it was, there were lots of thoughts
that are going on in your head. My head was trying to calm myself down, because I have done sunrise hikes before, but with a group.
So,
and I was like, you're just imagining that you're in front of the group, they're all behind you, you know the way, we're waiting for them here.
We are.
You know, we're just a bit ahead of the group, so that's what I was just telling myself, and it actually did calm me down, which is mad, because I knew that it wasn't true.
But it was just a way of
getting
that heart rate back down.
They're just behind us, it's fine.
They'll be here in a minute.
I didn't want them to be in front of us, obviously, because then you have to catch them up.
Oh, no, no, no. No, we're the ones. We stormed ahead. It's fine. After
Which
ran.
Which would make sense.
Yeah. But anyway, after that, we got to the top, didn't we? And
we got to the top. We sat there. It was a beautiful sunset. We had a laugh. We had some coffee.
Yeah, we had bought coffee, didn't we? We bought, like, some protein bars or something, like, had some, you know, breakfast basically.
And literally by the time it was light, the walk back was fine. There was still a lot of spider webs.
Oh, and then
the bitey flies.
There was some devil flies that liked our bums.
They weren't out, our bums were in leggings.
We were in shorts, but oh my God, these flies, oh, they were
always
horrendous.
On the bottom, and they were like stingy flies, weren't they?
I don't know, but it really hurt, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So,
not scary. No. The spider web's not nice. Emily was walking along just waving this stick in front of her.
Just to kind of, because I was like, I cannot, if the spider is on me at any point, I'm going to have a panic attack and die. That was my thought.
So it's funny, isn't it? Because I've never considered myself as someone that's scared of the dark.
No. I used to be scared of the dark when I was a kid. I remember you having to have like a little night light thing.
I always wanted my parents to leave the jar, like the door ajar.
Yeah. But now, oh my God, like I want the room to be as dark as physically possible.
You sleep in the pitch black, don't you?
Yeah. But, I mean, not here because lights outside, but yeah. In theory,
you can't help that.
I can't help that. But yeah, in theory, I like the darker the better. So I wouldn't necessarily say now I'm afraid of the dark person, but my God, did that put some things into perspective.
Yeah, it really did. Luckily, we didn't actually check before we went on the hike.
Oh, yes. This was something we then checked once we got home. And
no, it was over aperitivos, wasn't it, that evening? Because we'd had this experience. We'd obviously gone back home.
Oh, yeah, we got home and it was like, what, 9 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, had a shower, went to the beach, had a nap,
had a nice sunbathe. You know, it was a nice rest and a nice of a day.
To be fair, the sunrise and everything after was fairly nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sunrise and everything, apart from the little bitey flies and the spider webs, like the actual hike back was
pretty
really
easy.
Nice.
It was shorter than the way there because we took the shorter route.
Yeah, not past the horrible dogs or the freaky...
But again, I wouldn't have been scared of the dogs in the day.
No.
It's just that I feel like I'm threatening to them.
So they're going to be... they're in attack mode, aren't they? But yeah, it was a very nice... Realistically, like, looking back at it now...
Oh, it's an experience, it's funny. And also we've learned from it that, you know, if you're going to do a sunrise hike, make it a short hike...
Yeah, I mean, or if you can drive as far as you can,
and
maybe
20 minutes or on half an hour, because it's light for an hour before.
Oh yeah, but also, you know, be prepared. Have your flashlights, whether it be a head torch or an actual torch. You know, kind of
maybe a stick,
maybe a pole or something. You know, probably even if it is hot and you're walking through the forest, wear long trousers and long sleeves because there are still things out there that are going to bite you.
Yeah. Bug spray. We didn't have any bug spray. No, we did.
Oh no, we did.
But they still bit us anyway.
Little bastards. but
when we got back and we were at the bar having a very relaxed aperitivo, we decided to check what actual wildlife there was in the area because we do know that where we live there are wolves. We know that. I've seen one.
We have both. Yeah, both of us have.
But. Then I decided to check and it turns out it's one of the few places in Europe where there are bears, there are lynx and there are wolves.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean...
Thank God we didn't check before we went. Otherwise, well, we would have gone home.
Or we wouldn't have gone.
We wouldn't have gone, yeah.
No. But yeah, it was a learning.
I think, yeah, a mixture of like really... Because I felt when we were walking back that we'd been completely irrational.
But there were points of it that were rational.
Yeah, with the dogs.
The dogs and kind of that whole, like, being near
and
the
And I think the crash site just kind of got to us, didn't it? Because we knew people had died and it was again, it's the fear of death, isn't
it? Yeah, I mean, we'd watched videos the previous day of the crash happening and, yeah, I don't think that was probably a wise move either, but...
Well, no, because you hadn't heard about it, had you?
And no, I was like, well, I'd heard about it, but I'd not seen it. No. So I didn't necessarily know how bad it was. Because, you know, it's not near here. So I kind of pushed it to the back of my mind. But
and then it was definitely in the forefront when we were walking it.
It was. But it was a great experience afterwards.
I think, you know, it's a fun story that we'll have to tell.
Yeah. And we've learnt from it, you know. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's one of the...
And again, because we're quite amateur in terms of hiking, so we didn't really put two and two together, which sounds silly. And I would recommend anyone doing their research.
Oh, God, 100%.
And not putting themselves in that pretty dangerous position. But we just...
Learn from
us,
please.
We're novices, aren't we? Realistically, like, we're new to the mountains. We're from the UK and we're from like the south of England where there aren't mountains.
Oh, God, no, there's a few hills if we're lucky.
And you just don't think about those things necessarily, do you?
No, definitely not. It hadn't even... I mean, yeah, they were things that hadn't even crossed our mind.
No.
Whereas now...
We were aware.
We are definitely aware.
So that's where I think, like, the rational side of the fears that we had, we've learnt from. So great, that's where a fear can be really helpful, right?
Oh, definitely.
Because it sticks in our mind and we know for future what we would do differently and what we wouldn't do at all.
Oh, God. Yeah, so you learn from your fear.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, yeah, helpful in a sense. Having some fears.
Some fears not so helpful.
No.
Thank you. and Emily have a mutual fear that's very irrational.
It is. And it probably only applies to us here.
I don't have it in the UK. No, this is a fear that I only have in Italy. And it's an entertaining fear, we think.
Yeah, you're probably going to laugh at this.
We're both scared of going to the post office.
Oh, yeah.
Terrified.
I mean, it doesn't help that the women in there are scary people anyway.
Well, I've met one of the women now that she's like related family, sort of, not really.
But
I've been to dinner with her. There's a nice one, but the main lady, she's mean.
Do you know who she reminds me of? You know the Monsters, Inc.?
She's exactly that. The receptionist.
It's her. She works in this post office.
She's really mean and like unnecessarily abrupt.
Yeah.
And obviously we're both English, so we have the worry of what we're saying being right or what have you.
Well, it's just weird.
She's nice as pie to the boy.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, I find most Italian women are nice to boys.
Yeah.
Comes to women, not
especially
so
like
much.
Weird blonde English girls that just, they're like, why are you here?
Why are you here? Why are you in this tiny little place?
There's already a lack of men. What are you doing?
Yeah. Our little village, get out. But yeah, the post office is definitely an irrational fear for the both of us because we never know what we're meant to be doing, what we're meant to be saying, even if we've Googled it beforehand or we kind of have a rough idea. You get in there, she scares the bejesus out of you, and then you're like a deer in headlights and you're like,
what have you said? Now that with the masks and everything,
I know,
it gets harder.
And they're behind the screen and, yeah.
She's shouting at you and they have the weird doors that open and close and you can only open the doors when she's got the doors closed. And then,
it's just no.
I like going to the post office in the UK. I'm fine with that. I'll use a self-service machine and no one will even need to talk to me.
It's
lovely.
It's so easy. And that's the thing as well. Like, because we would never question it in the UK, when you're here, you're telling yourself, you're just going to the post office. You're just doing
your
ASOS return. What are you doing?
It's free. I don't even need to get my card out. I literally, you just have to give it to her.
But that process of having to give it to her is...
She yelled at me about 5 times the other day.
It's just, yeah. So that's just...
I think it might just be the way she speaks.
It may be. But that's just one of our little irrational fears,
irrational fun fears that I think if you're an expat, you kind of get that, like... stupid things can just, it's not even like a fear, it's that you're going to do it. It's an anxiety thing, isn't it? Am I going to mess up? Or am I going to say the wrong thing? We actually have 2 American friends that don't seem to have that problem.
Maybe
it is a British thing, or maybe it's just a me and Emily thing.
Let us know.
Please.
Tell us if we're being irrational.
Yeah. But maybe it's a learning experience too. So it's that, we obviously have mentioned our fears of being wrong. We both have that fear and we've both had it since childhood. So the fact is that when we're here...
Oh my God, it's heightened by like 1,000%.
But we don't have a choice. We do have to get over it. So it's kind of like a challenge. I don't know, because I would say like I'm a person that when I find things scary, I want to do them.
Oh yeah, I'm happy to challenge myself in lots of different areas apart from this.
You haven't challenged yourself yet.
No, I need to. That's the thing.
You've still moved here. So it is still a challenge. You're choosing to be challenged daily.
No, and there are things that we've both had to do, you know, and we've had to go to the immigration office. We've had to...
Go to the post office.
Right. Go to the comune. Go to, you know, there's lots of things we've had to do and we've, you know...
And you do it when you have to, right?
Yeah. But when you've got a choice, no.
I'd rather not. I think that's where we're lucky and unlucky having Italian partners, because sometimes you'd be put in a situation where you'd have to get over it and just do it. Like one of our friends, she has tried to organise this whole immigration thing herself.
Oh my God, yeah.
They're both British, so she's had to.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have a choice.
But we were lucky in a sense that both our partners being Italian like helped us.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of got the easier end of the stick. But
it's easy, but it also means that then you don't want to push yourself outside of your comfort zone.
No, because you know you can rely. You've got someone else to rely on.
Like we were saying earlier, you're very unlikely as an adult to put yourself in a situation where you know you're going to be uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. Why would you?
Unless you've got
an easy route out, you're going to take the easy route, aren't you?
I think so, most of the time.
I mean, sometimes you might not, but... I would say so, most of the time.
Most of the time, yeah. So obviously we talked about loads and loads of different fears today.
Lots
of.
I mean, there's probably plenty more we could talk
about.
Yeah,
I could talk all day about things I'm scared of. Things I'm not scared of probably take less time.
Yeah.
But
yeah, maybe.
maybe. But I think we're both, me and Em, obviously being expats, we're on a bit of a journey here where we do have to push ourselves and we're learning new things. Mm. And it's a challenge. It's really, really hard. It's really scary. And even getting to this point as an expat, there are people that haven't got to that point yet that they're like, I wish I could do what you did.
Yeah.
Like, and they don't do it. No. Why? Because the fear is stopping them.
But I think that's like the key thing is that you've just got to face your fears.
Yeah. Just do it anyway.
And do it anyway. Because if you haven't got that choice of not facing it, then
that
you kind of have, that's you kind of how you overcome it.
I think, like we said before, fear can be useful in some ways and it's hard to get past. But when you do, you can look back and be like, well, wow, look what I've achieved,
look what I've learned. Yeah.
And, I'm so glad we did power through on that day and go and watch that sunrise because it was spectacular.
Oh, God, yeah, 100%. But it was just those.
And had we not done that, that story would be
oh my God.
So depressing, right?
just could those horrible things not have happened? But then again, we wouldn't A, have a story, and B, we wouldn't have learnt from them.
Exactly. So I think, yeah, today obviously is just another little waffle, little chat about.
We're not professionals. Please do not take what we have said as, you know, the written word, or take it with a pinch of salt. Yeah, realistically,
everything we say with a pinch of salt,
because we're not.
I think we're both on a little journey here ourselves. We're both struggling with fears still. We're still scared of the post office.
Oh my God, yeah. How many times
I did
have
go
we
the
been?
Other day, and I procrastinated for 2 days about it. I was like, I've got this. I need to go. I need to send it. I want my money back.
Yeah, money was involved, so that's why you had to go.
I had to go, but I remember not sending my grandma a postcard for like a month because I was like, oh, I've got to go to the post office. I don't want to go to the post office.
No.
My poor grandma.
Bless her. She was waiting. Patiently.
Yeah. So I think, obviously, our main point is that we're still working on pushing ourselves and getting through certain fears. Some fears we've kind of overcome. I can sit by a lake with a swan in the water. If it comes onto the beach, I may stand up. Back away slowly.
Yeah.
But I wasn't the only one on the beach doing it.
So. No, I think that's...
And Emily has been able to change the screensaver that I've set as a clown on her phone.
I mean, obviously, I can now watch... I still watch Modern Family and Fizbo's in it. So, you know, it's...
Step by step, it's a process.
But as you said, he is a happy clown. So there's no way. I mean...
Sometimes I set her background to Pennywise and it's hilarious.
Oh, my God. I mean, he literally...
She can't open her phone. No. She has to look at the screen with Pennywise on it. It's hilarious.
Oh, it's he yeah.
I haven't done that for a while.
Yeah, or you and Matteo send me pictures of him
Even like the emoji of clowns.
No, I don't like, no. It's just what, the whole thing of what it represents.
I think if you sent me an emoji of a swan or a duck, I'd be all right.
What if I sent you an actual picture?
No, I think I'd be all right. It's when they're there in person.
Oh, okay. No, I don't like the... I just don't
so
like
So I just
pictures.
Have to dress up as a clown and chase you around and see if that
That's not nice either. No. I mean, I know we're meant to face our fears to try and overcome them, but I'm quite happily staying scared of clowns. Spiders as well. I mean...
You just kill them. You're quite aggressive.
Yeah. I just know. Like, my mum's always like, oh, just go and hold a tarantula. Like,
they're fluffy.
Hold it. And I'm like... No, Mum, because even the thought of it makes me feel physically sick.
They're fluffy.
No, they're not. They're
okay, horrible. I wouldn't hold a duck because that made me feel sick, so that's fine.
There we go.
So we'd love to hear about what your fears are. Maybe someone else is scared of swans. I'd love to hear that because most people just look at me like I'm insane.
Oh, they can be, they can be anything, your fears. They can be as irrational or as rational as they like. You know, they can be deep and meaningful, or they can be, you know,
something
trivial.
Mm.
But yeah, just let us know.
Do you face your fears? Do you avoid your fears? I know I'm a big one for procrastinating. Like I said, with the post office, I'll avoid going for as long as I can. And then I'm like, if I don't send this soon, I won't get my money back. So I'll go to the post office.
No. What have you done, or what are you doing to kind of overcome those fears that you have?
Yeah, because I don't think you can overcome them all in one go.
It's like as we said, a journey.
It's a journey, a process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
We'll go with that. Do you agree? Or do you think, just get over it, girls, you're weird?
Well, probably. We know we're weird, so you don't need to tell us that.
That's fine. But we would love to hear yours, and anyone that is also scared of swans, I really want to hear that, because I've never had anyone agree with me.
No, I've never met anyone else. Anyone that's scared of ducks or swans.
I just don't like them. I'm scared of swans. I
dislike,
deeply dislike ducks.
Okay, fine. So slightly
ornamental
different.
Ducks, fine.
But it's just live.
Live ducks.
Live not ducks. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, so thank you again for joining us. Thank you for listening to our fears. Let us know what you thought about our stories, our experiences, if you share any fears with us.
Yeah, definitely.
And we look forward to seeing you again soon. Thanks for sticking with us.
Tune in next time.
And ciao for now.
Ciao for now.